changed in the other part of Berlin, so that we may concentrate on the discussion after the Hansaviertel, after the Interbau in Berlin West. So I come back to the discussion about urban design and housing in West Berlin since the Interbau. Next, please. One of the first ideas after the Interbau was to make a big plan again for Berlin as a unique city, as a city without that wall between, was this so-called Hauptstadt Berlin Wettbewerb. And this competition brought very typically out all the different meanings of architecture at that time, and the plans, the basis for that competition were these two plans which I show here. It went from the Kurfürstendamm to the Prenzlauer Berg. You see here the Friedrich City in the middle. That white area is a Tiergarten. And on the right plan, you see that there was a traffic system given as orientation, not only for railways, for streets, for everything. Next, please. The first prize was won by three architects, which you need not remember, Stengelin, Pemberford, and Evelyn. And this was the result near the Reichstag, with that huge water artificial widened, and that modern parliament and ministerial buildings which they thought could be built near the Reichstag. Next, please. More interesting for us and for the discussion in Berlin was the second prize won by Hans Scherun, from whom I showed several things, that marvelous housing project from 29-30, and then the early collective plan done between 45 and 49. And here he comes back to his original idea of the Garden Eden, of the city integrated with landscape. And you really can't believe that this part is the center, the former center of Berlin. And even the northwest axis, here you see the so-called Siegessäule, and the Brandenburg Gate is a little bit higher when you follow this axis. And then you have Unter den Linden and some historical buildings as the Museum of Schinkel, of course, but the Schloss is away. Of course, it was broken down shortly before, and other pieces. The interesting point is that he still uses four places, the Pariser Platz, what is a square, the Leipziger Platz, what is an octagon, and the round circle here, that is the Belle-Alliance Platz. Now, I just wanted to give you this impression of what was going on in the discussion of urban design and city planning that time. Next, please. The first architect who came back to some ideas, to some conventions of the historical city was, and you know, don't believe it, Walter Gropius, with the Architects Collaborative. And that was 1 year after the competition for the huge plan for Greater Berlin, which had nothing followed on this. It was just a competition, as many competitions which have been done and which were not realized at all. This was the second plan they did, the so-called TAC2 plan, the architects collaborative, and it was done, it was planned in Boston, Massachusetts, but it was a little bit overworked, and there's only a small difference to the first plan, and these huge circles are just written or planned as an homage to Bruno Taut and Martin Wagner to the Hufeisensiedlung, which I have shown you before. But the remarkable thing is that this is one of the first plans in that time where you find back to the idea of a street, to an idea of a urban space with trees in it, but a space which you really can imagine and things like that. But the Senate of Berlin, mainly the Senate of Berlin and several architects, have totally destroyed this idea. When I would show you a plan of the Copio City now, you would not at all recognize it as the same plan. Next, please. Only left side you see the result of it, and Gropius himself built that highest house in the Gropius city, so he was absolutely, with that piece of architecture, conform to that great mixture. The only little piece built by myself, the first piece I did as free architect together with the former partner Moldenschardt, was following the idea of Anschau of Gropius, and was planned in 63 and realized in 64. Only a short piece of that idea to make a pedestrian way or to construct a street. Next, please. And now I come to a few other designs I did myself for. It is necessary to show these things as contradictions, as critique against the official meaning of urban design and city planning in the 60s and early 70s in Berlin. For instance, this is the most characteristic piece. It's a very famous and very hardly criticized Märkische Viertel. It's much better than many other areas of social housing which have been built in Berlin, but it was the most criticized one, as there were three quite well-known people, Werner Düttmann, Georg Heinrichs, and Hans Müller, who made this plan and who believed in this plan, which was a plan against all the conventions of the European city. It was a plan of the a big artistic gestus. And when you see on the left side the reduction on these formal images, and you see the model on the right side, you believe that this is totally a total contradiction to a rational, organized city, and it has nothing to do with the organized housing projects of the 20s. This was, as many other projects, really the destroyment of the historical city. And that is one example, one of many examples, which have been discussed from the early 60s to the later 70s. And we remember, next please, that already in 64, 1 year after the Märkische Viertel, here you see one part done by Matthias Ungers with a very intelligent apartment, ground floors, but also in the convention of this idea of the Märkische Viertel. Next, please. Already 1 year after this Märkische Viertel, here you see it in the landscape of Berlin, it's a suburb area. Next, please. My friend Wolf-Jürgen Siedler wrote a book called The Murdered City. And the protest of this book was a protest not only against demolishing the few still existing houses in Berlin, it was of course a protest against this kind of urban design. Of course, 1 year later, the 1 year later written L'architettura della città by Rossi, and the many writings done by Corinne Rowe and others, were a protest, of course, against this misunderstanding of urban design. And next, please. I myself tried, together with Morgenstern in 67, first time to come back to some rules of the historical city. This is a project which was a competition project. Matthias Angers participated in the same competition, and I suppose you know his competition with the very rational Rose. And this was the attempt to remember the block structure and to remember the street and to have a hierarchy of streets, the alley with shopping area and the smaller street just to erschließen, to find to the houses, the so-called Wohnstraßen, and to integrate the parking areas and having little shops in the first floor, things which have to do with the organization of the modern city, but also with the elements of the historical city. Next, please. And in the same year, shortly after, I did the same attempt with a design for a new city near Munich, which uses the roads, but the roads are closed, and the center has an organization which you find in existing cities, with pedestrian ways, with urban space, with church, with schools, with sport hall, and all these pieces concentrated on the center of the new area, which was the main point of the program, to have all these facilities together. Next, please. And of course, in Berlin, the discussion mainly was a discussion about the question if the row still had a legitimation, or if you only could reconstruct the city by reconstructing the block using the image of the block and the function of the block. And when you look at the right picture, then you see the typical block of the 18th century in Berlin. These houses have been only two, maybe two and a half, 3 floor highs, and they had the little gardens behind these houses. And on the left side, you see the typical block, same size, built in the later 19th century, with these very small courtyards, and they looked very often like this on the right side. And that was, of course, the quality, 5-6 story highs, which was attacked by many architects already in the later 19th century. Next, please. But there are examples coming from the later 19th century, for instance, the Goethe Park, which were interventions into this stony Berlin, or on the right side, the so-called Riemeistershof, where that black drawn block is a piece where you could walk through with little green nerys, and the facades in the inside of the block became the same quality as the facades on the street side. So already 1885-87 1890, from 90 is this right example, and that is a little bit later, from 1904. Next, please. there were protests against the Stony Berlin, and one of the most famous examples is done by Messel, who was, if you want, a teacher of Peter Behrens and belongs to the role of Schinkel School, to that architecture done by Peter Behrens and followed by Mies van der Rohe and so on. And he did this so-called Weißbach block or Weißbach group for workers who should live in little single houses, four stories high and the corners five stories high, and they should have little gardens around. That was the original plan. This was only two, three stories high, and this was the plan which they have built, realized. Next, please. So the discussion about the block and about the figure of the city and about the convention of the European city started already in the later 19th century. But it's a funny thing that until 72 there was no block reconstructed in the historical plan of the city. The first one I could realize after a plan which was done in 72 and realized in the next years. Here you see that block. And next, please. I only want to show you these images, left side, the realized piece, social housing. Social housing has all the other examples I have shown you before. Next, please. These examples, that means the design for the Ruhrwald area with these huge blocks, and the reconstruction, the realized block 270, were part of the discussion about the city of the future, about the urban design politic in Berlin. And the last old example I want to show you has been planned for the city of Berlin. You see the historical situation around the Gedächtniskirche. Here is the Kurfürstendamm, the main shopping road in Berlin, and the Kaiser Wilhelm Gedächtniskirche on the middle of this place, and the Romanische Café on the other side. And after the destroyment of World War II, this was a plan not done by Bruno Taut, but by his brother Max Taut. And you really can't believe that that is exactly the same area which you see on the left side, and even the church was reduced on the tower, for the church was destroyed in World War II, and he has just left this little black point on that big space as a remembrance, and this church ruin still exists until today. But what they wanted to do was a totally different city built after the stasis of the manifestation of the Charta from Athens and things like that. I need to explain that to you. Next, please. And of course this was something that was, that seemed to be orientated to the rational and functional plannings, to the rose of the 20s, but it was not at all. It did not have that radicality. It did not have that power at all. It was not that theoretical clearness in these plannings. Next, please. Now, the district of the competition where several people participated, so the two clear powers, looked before the destroyment by World War II, as you see it in the left side, the left slide, and this was the situation in 1957, and the main area of the competition were these three blocks, where the middle one was more or less destroyed. Next, please. And one idea was, of course, to do something against the dimension of the Berlin blocks which we have in different areas. I come back to this point when we talk about the IBA plans. You see in the middle of this collection of city plans, the city of Berlin and the round place in the upper part, the, not the round place, that we follow the stick to the up, you see that that is the plan of the former Kaiser Wilhelm Gedächtniskirche of the church. And you see, if you compare this block dimensions with New York, with Manhattan, or with even with Rome, or with Leipzig, or with Venezia, how big, how huge these blocks are, and that they are absolutely against communication, against urban living and things like that. So I tried to put in the area of the former blocks that have been only three blocks, six new blocks combined with an inner city park with one green arm crossing this park and with one street for the entrances to the garages. Next, please. Of course, this was in some way a theoretical attempt, and it was a utopic one as well. But the main three elements were the blocks, the urban greenery, and the pedestrian way, in contradiction to the, at that time, usual plannings for these elements. And of course, we did a very careful analysis of the houses. Next, please. And we did another analysis of the traffic. And you see in this picture how the garages were blocking the city and destroying the picture of the city. They are everywhere, and we wonder sometimes that the cars are not standing in our bedrooms. So we tried to organize this on this little space in a very careful way. Next, please. This was the little park which was planned with water inside, and these are the six blocks, unit blocks, with a big roof on top which you could close and open. And behind you see the existing Europa Center, that higher house, or one of the few ones we have in the city of West Berlin. Next, please. Next, please. And here you have the blocks once again, and this is a typical drawing to understand what was meant with these blocks. Now, the discussion about the IBA in these years was already very alive. The discussion about the new building exhibition started, I would say, 72, 73. These plans were done 75. Next, please. And of course, the question was, first of all, how can IBA be organized? What should be the program of IBA? And where should IBA be realized? One interest, of course, was to stop the destroyment of the still existing houses. Schluss mit der Zerstörung Kreuzbergs, for instance, stop with the destruction of Kreuzberg, but also stop the destruction of other parts of the cities. Next, please. Many people didn't want to listen to these protests. Many people didn't even want to organize themselves as architects to come back to more intellectual, rational, and historically orientated city planning and urban design. And a lot of architects thought that it would be the best to make the International Building Exhibition in this area, what we call still call the former diplomatic area. So this, the area, this is, you know, is the cultural forum. It is not a forum at all in this moment. I will talk about the plans tomorrow. There's the Philharmonie and the big library, both pieces done by Charoun, and the National Gallery by Mies van der Rohe, and that little piece, the Stühlerkirche, done by people from Schinkel, assistant from Schinkel. And on the left side, that area, which you see in one of the competition plans on the right side, should be the area where the International Building Exhibition should be. Of course, it would have been a marvelous thing to build there, to build one house, for instance, but it would have been a very isolated IWA, which would have nothing to do with the problems of the city. Next, please. So the problems of the city are mainly problems of the inner city of Berlin. And when you look at the right map, you see five districts. The right part is East Berlin, and all that is in between this line is West Berlin, with a wall around West Berlin. And the five districts, the five inner districts, that is Wedding and Charlottenburg and Tiergarten and Wilmersdorf and Kreuzberg, in these five districts live more than 1 million people. And in Berlin West altogether are living a little bit less than 2 million people, 1,900,000 people. So on less than 30%, I would say on in an area that is around 25% of the whole area of West Berlin, live more than 50% of the inhabitants of West Berlin. Next, please. So that, as we know this, as we know that we haven't the chance to build any new housing project in the boundary of Berlin, as we know that we would not have the chance to use the rest of the fields and the woods in Berlin to build new housing areas, and knowing that it couldn't go on to destroy the rest of the houses, there was only one possibility to come to an IWA that we understand as an IWA characterized by two topics. The first topic is the reparation of the demolished city, and that is the IWA which has been organized and leaded by my colleague Walter Hamer. So he, with his group in the IWA, restores the old houses of Kreuzberg East and the so-called Luisenstadt. Rehabilitation is the topic of his work. And the second topic is the reconstruction of the destroyed city. It's topics that you may not misunderstand. Of course, it should not be understood against the high quality and engagement of the 20s, but it's the only possibility to come back to the idea of a city. This was the city of the South Friedrichstadt in 25. This was a picture after the destroyment of World War II, and you of course can imagine that it would have been possible to rebuild few of these destroyed houses, but the Senate of Berlin, the architects, the city planners and urban designers didn't do it all. Next, please. What they did was the destroyment of the city even more than World War II had the chance to destroy the city. When you compare the picture on the left side and we'll see how the streets look today, where they discussed first that the street, the Kochstrasse, should be widened on 45 meters. 5 or 10 years later, they said, no, must not be 45, 35 would be enough. But that would have meant that the last three houses on the left side of the Kochstraße would have been broken down to do it, for the Kochstraße is only 22 meters and 50 centimeters wide. And the one of the first things of Eber was to organize a public meeting that this is absolutely stupid to widen the street, that we can use the street as an urban space with 22 meters. So now we got it through and we built on this street. Peter Eisenmann will build one house, and on the other corner Aldo Rossi, and that is of course the topic of the next lectures. Next, please. But what we really don't understand is how a city can look like this on the right side. This is the existing situation in the South Friedrich City. And the only idea the architects and the traffic planners had was to build a highway through that area and to cut the Bellarianzplatz, that marvelous round place, from the axis of the Friedrichstraße, from this marvelous early shopping street. And I think I need not explain anymore, for you see what happened and how the discussion about the necessity and the chance of Eber was going on in the 70s. And I'm very happy that the Senate of Berlin in the early 77, that means in exactly in May 1977, changed the idea to make the isolated Eber in the former diplomatic area to make another program, what we call the integrated Eber, an Eber that tries to work out the problems of the inner city as a human living area. And tomorrow I will start and show you the first results of our urban designs and few results of the buildings which we started to realize. Thank you so very much for tonight.